Hi, everybody, and welcome to this very special episode of the Kamine Podcast. I'm your host, Subi Sadeh. On this episode, I'm going to be going over 7 books that I recommend for the combination product professional. As the year winds down, and with the Thanksgiving holiday this week, I just wanted to spend some time going through some books that I found a lot of value in. I find that the second part of December, in particular, I 2x, 3x, maybe even more than that, my typical reading habit. And so I just wanted to put some books on you all's docket if you are planning on doing the same. And I really hope you all have a good holiday, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
B Nation, my name is Subi Sadeh. I've spent over a decade in medical device, pharma, and combination product development. Our industry feels complicated sometimes. Drugs, devices, clinical trials, submissions, sterilization, validation, design control, risk management, market access, reimbursement. The list goes on. My goal is mastery, so this podcast is to ask questions I have to people who may have the answers. Each week on the Combinate Podcast, I talk to someone about their area to further understand and simplify. Whether you're a pharma person trying to understand the next wave of products, or a device person trying to navigate a pharma system you're unfamiliar with, or a newbie in both areas, I invite you to listen, and together we can simplify by combinating.
All right, on to book number one. And outside of this first book, the rest are not in any particular order. But this first one I do think is the number one book that I recommend to anyone, basically in any industry that involves some kind of engineering, design, etc. The first book, should not come as a surprise if you followed me for any number of time, is Quality is Free by Philip Crosby. The subtext, the subtitle of this book is The Art of Making Quality Certain, and I've done a whole episode on this one, so I'm not going to belabor it. I will say that the first 100 changes are probably the most important, the most impactful for most people. If you're in quality, you should, in my opinion, you should probably read the whole book. But Philip Crosby, who was one of the presidents of ASQ, the American Society for Quality, does a bit of a brain dump on this idea that quality is free, and that essentially what you're paying for is everything that is not quality. That quality is the least that you would be able to pay for something, i.e. the material it takes to make something and the minimum operations associated with procuring a component, device, whatever it is. Just a couple of topics that I think are worth noting in the book is this idea of certainty, that in quality, you're not moving to low quality to high quality. You are moving from uncertainty to certainty. And there are a couple of different philosophies around what quality even is. But Philip Crosby's philosophy is that quality is conformance to requirements. And if quality is conformance to requirements, then the uncertainty to certainty becomes being certain that you've defined the requirements appropriately and being certain that you've adequately achieved those requirements. He goes on in his book to say that most of the issues that he sees is not with what people don't know about quality, but rather what they think they know. He goes through a lot of those misconceptions in the book. I think his quality policy in the book is really interesting, focusing on the assurance that requirements are being met or that requirements are changed to be what they should be. I can't recommend this book enough. Again, the first 100 pages, I think everybody should read. Ever since I started doing my podcast, I typically ask guests either what is a book they recommend or what is a book that they give as a gift. And this book was recommended to me during the first episode that I recorded. And I read it almost immediately after, and I just remember thinking how unbelievable it was that some things that were so simple, I hadn't really given much thought to. And I just found this to be a very impactful book. And I hope you do the same. So that first book is Quality is Free by Philip Crosby. All right. Book number two is The Combination Products Handbook, A Practical Guide for Combination Products and Other Combined Use Systems. This is edited by Susan Needle. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in this book, mostly because Susan is a friend and she's been on the podcast multiple times right after the book launch. We did two episodes, the first of which focusing on the kind of base material in the book, what are called the foundation. And the second episode was focused on the special topics. If you work in the combination product space, this is a book that you should have. For everybody has their own kind of skill set and competency areas. For me personally, I found the combination product regulatory strategy written by Suzette Rowan, which was more than 40 pages long. I found that to be tremendously helpful. And I joke around that I don't have a regulatory bone in my body. And so as much as I've tried to learn in the last couple of years, I just found that chapter in particular was very impactful for me. And it goes through every major topic under the sun as far as combination products go and has a lot of different authors that contributed to it. And so that's the second book, The Combination Product Handbook, edited by Susan Needle. All right. So book number three is called Which Country Has the World's Best Healthcare by Ezekiel Emanuel. This book I bought because it does a comparison of the healthcare systems in 11 countries, some of which include the US, Canada, China, Switzerland, and others. And what's interesting is Dr. Emanuel, who I believe is at UPenn, goes through and tries to answer this question of who has the best healthcare. And he looks at seven different topics, categories, considerations of what goes into a healthcare system. Those are its history, coverage, financing, payment, delivery, pharma regulation, and workforce. And just for me personally, the one that I spent the most amount of time on are the pharma sections. And it just helped me get a 10,000 foot view understanding of how countries look at drugs from a healthcare system standpoint. The book itself is on the longer side. It's probably 400 pages or so. But if one is surgical and looks at just the pharma sections, then it only amounts to something like 150 pages or something like that, which is pretty short and manageable. I thought that the conclusion he got to, which is that none are the best, was interesting in that basically the conclusion was that some elements of every system are really good, others are not so good, and that we should take the good and leave the bad. I think the one thing that I thought was interesting that he felt comfortable landing as a conclusion is that the U.S. isn't number one, two, or three, or even in the top 10. And that just from a metric standpoint, there were certain elements of it that were underperforming to the point where he felt that was where it landed. But I think this book is really good for anyone who wants a look at what all goes into the pharma systems, payers, providers, and so on. So that's book number three, Which Country Has the World's Best Healthcare by Ezekiel Emanuel. All right, book number four is called Switch, How to Change Things When Change is Hard by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. This book was recommended by somebody who does a lot of work in the advocacy, kind of policy advocacy, regulation advocacy space. And I thought this book was really good. I'm a process guy. And the main idea that I got from the book is that change is hard, but it can be made easier if it follows a certain process. I think the if I were to boil down some of the key ideas from the book, how to change things when things are hard, they boil it down to an elephant, a rider, and a path. The elephant being the emotional, that for change to happen, people essentially need to feel like change is happening. And they have the section that goes through the see, feel, change model. They talk about how good and bad emotion can be invoked to drive good motivated change. And they talk about shrinking changes so that they're palatable instead of trying to do wide swathing changes. The writer in the context of the book is the rational part of people, that part of change requires clear direction, that using clear direction helps you get to a critical mass, and that the right destination is clearly articulated and understood. And then last but certainly not least is the path or environment. They talk about in the book this idea of a sterile cockpit, where under 10,000 feet, pilots aren't allowed to talk about anything other than what is minimally required to get the plane up to altitude. And that's just an example of utilizing an environment to drive a path. And basically, this idea of distinguishing the emotional in people in the form of the elephant and the rider in people in the form of the rational, and making sure that both of those have a clear path, I thought was a really cool way of illustrating a process towards change. It's called Switch: How to Change Things When Change is Hard. All right, the next book on the list is called Managing Oneself by Peter Drucker. It's a little tiny booklet, 56 pages. This book I read every single December. I've done so for the last maybe 4 or 5 years. And the book invites the reader to go through a few questions where the reader is supposed to look at: what are my strengths? How do I learn? How do I perform? What are my values? And what is my planned contribution? And early on in the, I don't even want to call it a book, I'll call it a booklet, Peter Drucker talks about this idea of don't try to change yourself. You're unlikely to succeed, but work hard to improve the way you perform, and try not to take on work you cannot perform or will only perform poorly. And so this idea of not trying to change, but rather trying to understand who you are, what your strengths are, and playing to your strengths is a really, for me at least, a few years ago was something that I started leaning towards and have found just tremendous results in doing that. I think I'll also say that Peter Drucker talks about this idea of feedback analysis, and that if you're unclear on what your strengths are, just basically have other people tell you. And so if you just continually ask for feedback, you're surely to land on what those are. He talks about how strengths and skills aren't the same. He talks about how arrogance can cause ignorance. Overall, I think this is one of the books that is so dense in such little time. Most people can probably get away with reading it in less than 90 minutes. So a book I highly recommend. I read it every year at least. And so that's Managing Oneself by Peter Drucker. All right. Book number 6 is called Bottle of Lies: The Inside Story of the Generic Drug Boom by Catherine Ebon. We work in a regulated industry. A lot of my experience has been in the new product space, but I did work for several years on generic projects, combination products that were delivering generic products, and have gone through the ANDA process. And so I had some familiarity with generic drugs before I read this book. And this book particularly explores generic drugs that are manufactured overseas for the US. I thought that the entry chapters going into the main meat and potatoes of the book, I thought that the author did a really good job of summarizing FDA processes, summarizing regulatory expectations. She does a whole chapter on GMPs that I thought was really good for a lay reader. And so one kind of thing that I like is there's an approachability to this kind of topic that I thought was really cool, having worked into the weeds and details of it. It reads like a story. Chapter 4, The Language of Quality, is the one that I was talking about that does a good job of summarizing GMP expectations in 15 pages to a layperson. And so if you're struggling to tell people what you do, reading that may be helpful. This book looks at the issues of manufacturing drugs overseas, the limited jurisdiction and control that US FDA has in regulating OUS plants, and goes through just an unbelievable story of data integrity issues, fraud. It's very dramatic. I won't spoil it, but if you work in the pharma industry, I think this is a really good book to read to understand what all could go wrong, and also to appreciate why we have the systems that we do, and to understand that all of the GMP systems that we work in, I should say all of the GXP systems that we work in, they're there for a reason, but they're also there with a foundation of integrity and honesty to the approach that you use those systems. And I think it's a book that people should read, and our day-to-day can sometimes be a little dramatic, but I thought that this was a really good book, especially that I work in the industry. And last, but certainly not least, is a book called The Pyramid Principle, Logic in Writing and Thinking by Barbara Minto. The Pyramid Principle by others is sometimes called the Minto Method or the Minto Principle. And I'm from the Middle East, and I sometimes joke around that I have a lot of pyramids in my presentations. The book basically outlines a top-down approach to how to illustrate outlines of what you plan on writing and think. And so sometimes if I'm struggling to come up with an idea, I'll just start drawing a pyramid. And from there, the idea will become more and more solid. This book was recommended to me by somebody who I asked how she does such effective presentations. And she just recommended this method. And I learned later on that a lot of the kind of big four consulting and the McKinsey's, Bain's, Boston Consulting Groups use this method to clearly outline approach and things like that. And couldn't recommend this book enough. It's pretty short. It's like a little over 150 pages, but lots of diagrams and things like that to help kind of clarify the approach. But effectively, it's a top-down approach to structuring written, and it's a top-down approach to structuring writing and thinking to help you poke holes through. And one piece of advice that I've gotten in terms of presentation is think of the questions that they would ask you. And just following this approach really helps structure an argument that's coherent, and try to make sure you even understand, you as an I understand, what am I even trying to say? And, you know, what criticism or questions could I receive with what I'm trying to say and how I'm trying to say it? So that book is called The Pyramid Principle by Barbara Minto. And with that, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I wanted to do a light one with it being Thanksgiving week and with the end of the year coming upon us. And hopefully you all will be reading just as much, if not more, than I am. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.